Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
I did get to preach on vacation, so I'm not as, you know, I wasn't like chomping at the bit like Pastor Matt was to get back in the pulpit, because I did get to preach, you know, like in California for a group of women, so that was a lot of fun. So thank you for letting us go on vacation. We had a wonderful time. It was very relaxing. So when I was young, a lot of y'all have heard my testimony. I was not... I wasn't raised in a good family, and I was not a very good kid. And so in eighth grade, my mom and I lived in San Antonio, and because of my partying and stuff, I got us kicked out of our apartment, and so I had to move to New Mexico with some friends. And so I went to New Mexico my freshman year, and I lived with the friends, and it was this little bitty town called Ridoso, and it's really small, right? And so my freshman year, I remember I start high school. And there was another girl that year that was brand new, and she comes in, and this girl was bigger than life. Man, she had, y'all think I had big hair. I mean, this girl made me look like crazy. I mean, she outdid me, you know, by about two bottles of Aquanet, right, compared to my one. I mean, she had the makeup and the hair and the wild clothing and the big personality to come in. And she came into our little bitty school, and everybody, like, her personality and whatnot, she started this mock rock concert. I mean, she just came in, and she was like, this school doesn't look like what I want it to look like, so I'm going to start changing it. And that's exactly what she did. I mean, this girl was larger than life. I mean, people started dressing like her and acting like her, and, you know, she had this little group. And as I was thinking about tonight's message, is that we're supposed to be people like that go in and change the environment with big hair. I didn't hear that, but anyways, we're supposed to be those people that go in and change that environment, right? I'm going to be in Acts chapter 17. We'll be moving around a little bit tonight, but it says now, Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 17, it says, now after Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul entered, as he usually did, for three Sabbaths. He reasoned and argued with them from the scriptures, explaining and setting forth and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. And some of them were induced to believe and associated themselves with Paul and Silas, as did a great number of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the unbelieving Jews were aroused to jealousy, and getting hold of some wicked men and loungers in the marketplace, they gathered together a mob, set the town in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring Paul and Silas out to the people. But when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. So the message tonight is titled, Turn the World Upside Down. See, these men went around, and their message, their life was so drastic, it turned the world upside down. For some reason, these men that have turned the world upside down have come here now. Right? And they're saying it out of fear. But there was something so great about what the new Christians, what these early Christians were doing. They turned the world upside down with their life, with their words, with their actions, with their message. Right? Now, what's sad is that we live here in America where we're not turning the world upside down. Right? What's sad to me is that so many churches are sending missionaries overseas because people overseas are accepting the gospel. America, they don't want it. They don't want it. We're really living in this lukewarm society, right? And have y'all heard the analogy between a thermostat and a thermometer? And I had never heard this before. I heard it on vacation. My husband's like, you haven't heard that before? And I said, no. And he said, you know, a thermostat, right? You set your thermostat and you adjust the temperature. Thermostats adjust the temperature. They make the temperature what they want it to be, right? The thermostat makes the temperature what it wants it to be. A thermometer changes because of its temperature, right? It measures its surrounding area and it changes to reflect that, right? In America, folks, it's become a thermometer. We've changed to accept the world around us instead of being the thermostat, instead of setting our own temperature, turning the world upside down, right? That's what we are supposed to be doing. Now I don't know if you guys know this, but we are living in the end times. Now, when you see Christians in Iraq being beheaded for their Christianity, folks, it's end time stuff. I mean, this is not far from the book of Revelation. And if you ever read the book Left Behind, it ain't far from that. You know, when we look at things going on in the world, folks, these are the last days. Now, I'm not saying we're in the tribulation right now, that we have 7 years left. I'm not saying any of that. But we are living in the last days. You can see it. You can feel it. If you are staying prayed up, man, you can feel it. You when you pray, you can feel the heaviness. You can feel the burden, right, of just the spiritual things going on around us. Time is short. The time is short. God is speeding things up during this time because it is short. Because he wants to do a great work in this time, right? And as I was talking to Jenna earlier today, I was like, we are here for such a time as this. It's not a mistake. There's no fate that you're here at this time for this reason, for this purpose, right? And that makes me excited. That gets me excited. God wants to do a great work in this season, okay? The church, folks, we are moving into a new season. There's a warfare going on. There's a battle going on. And as Satan is putting his pressure up, so is God. Okay? So is God. Right now, we are in a battle, folks. We need to start taking things seriously. We cannot be lukewarm. God is shaking things up. Okay? He is shaking things up. We cannot just do church and do Christianity anymore. We are the church. We are Christians. We can't just be in this, you know, do. And I was thinking about this. People doing church, doing Christianity, using Jesus' name as a license to sin, as a license to live how they want to live. Right? We folks, it's serious time. It's serious time. It's time to get serious about our walk and the battle against good and evil. Okay? It is not about us, it's about him. It's not about us, it's about him. Right? As I was going through my newsfeed the other day, I see so many pastors and ministers and people trying to put their name out there. Apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, master preacher prophet so-and-so. Right? I mean, you see it. I mean, it's all over the place. I'm not talking about Facebook, but it's out there. You know, folks, Jesus made himself of no reputation. And I said, you know, I think I just want to go by woman of God anymore. Don't call me anything but woman of God. I want that on my gravestone. Woman of God. She loved God. Right? It's not about us. It's about him. We need to remember that. Because as God uses us, there is that pride that comes and says, well, God's using me and I need to get my name out there. We need to get his name out there. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. We need to be getting his name out there. So I ask you, are you turning the world upside down? Are you turning the world upside down? So there's three things that we can do. We can run and hide. We can run and hide. You can withdraw. We can withdraw ourselves, you know, circle the wagons, right? Get us a little compound. Be Amish. Just waiting on Jesus. Right? You can compromise and conform. Throw yourself headlong into the world. We can compromise and conform. Or we can transform the world. We can go and we can turn it upside down. So turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Now this is a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the Jewish exiles that were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Okay? This letter I'm about to read to you, Jeremiah wrote this about 1 to 2 years after the Babylonians had taken the exiles. Now consequently, this is where Daniel, where Daniel and his three friends were. Okay? So when Jeremiah's written this, when he wrote this, right? You know, so, because I'm going to use some of Daniel, but you can correlate to that. Jeremiah was writing to those exiles of which Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were part of. Okay? So Jeremiah here is, he's writing this letter to the exiles that were taken captive. Okay? And he says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, to the priests and the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, blah, I don't know. Thus said the Lord of hosts, verse 4, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. He says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives, beget your sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and that you may be increased there, and that you will not diminish. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so, most people just read that last part. But Jeremiah here is writing a letter to the exiles, right? And he's telling them what's going on. And I had a different message planned for you guys today, and the Lord changed it just this afternoon. And the Lord spoke to me, this is us right now. We are living in Babylon. We are living in the midst of Babylon. We are living in the midst of an ungodly society, right? So how do we go about turning the world around? How do we go about doing this, okay? And in this letter, he says, they must seek normal lives, build houses, marry, seek peace, well-being of the city where God had providentially placed them. They were to not listen to the false prophets. They were to remain in Jerusalem, or those who remain in Jerusalem would suffer greatly for their persistence and rebellion against God, and the exiles would be restored at the end of 70 years. So as I was going through this, and as I was praying over this, right, living in Babylon, and I was like, Lord, so what do we do? How do we transform our society, right? We can't run and hide. Right? We can't compromise. We have to change the world. We have to turn the world upside down, right? So the first thing that we need to do is we need to trust God. Above all, we have to trust God. And God himself, if you believe that God is in your life and working in your life, then you believe that you are here for such a time as this. That you believe that God has placed you where he wants you, right? As the exiles, when we read that, he said, I have sent you there. I placed you there, right? We are here. And when I mean here, not just on earth. I'm talking about in Auburn, in Covington, in Kent, wherever you are, God has you there for a reason and for a purpose. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So you either believe that God has placed us there or we don't. So we have to trust that he knows what he's doing. We have to trust that he has placed us there. We have to trust that he will take care of us even in captivity. We have to trust that he will help us, that he will protect us, that he will provide for us even in the midst of intense opposition. Trust. It's easy to say, harder to do, right? The other night I had this dream, and I'm real meticulous about my nails, and I don't paint them or anything, but I can't stand having any kind of hangnail or anything like that. I mean, I'm serious. They'll have to be the same length, and I'm real like this all the time. So if you see me up here doing this, it's because I'm OCD about it. And so I had this dream, and in my dream, the Lord showed me my thumb, and it had like a big hangnail on it, really bad, right? And I woke up the next morning, and I looked, and my nail had like a big just chip taken out of it. And I knew it was not there the night before, because I check my nails every night. So it happened in the middle of the night. And I was like, God, what does that mean? And he just said, do you not know that I know and care even about your nail? Even about your nail. Do you not understand that I know, I care, even about your nail, Crystal? Come on, somebody. Even about my nail. It's huge, right? That's the kind of trust that if anything, he's going to show us. He's going to reveal it. He's going to protect it. He's going to take care of it, right? We have to trust. Trust. The next thing, what are we going to do in Babylon? We need to live a ordinary life, but be extraordinary. Right? He says, go build houses, right? Get a job. Marry, right? An ordinary life, a normal life. Live a normal life, but be extraordinary. Folks, people will not take us seriously if we're whack job Christians. I don't know how else to put it, okay? We can be Jesus freaks, but we don't need to be freaky. Does that make sense? You know, and you've seen the guys on the corner and the big sign and repent and do this and all, you know, God's coming today and the end of the earth and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, listen, that does not attract anybody but other wackos. If people are going to take us seriously, we need to be normal, normal. Okay? Normal-ish. Thank you. But here's the other part of that. We are to be ordinary, or live ordinary, but be extraordinary. See, we're not supposed to fit in. And I've been hearing a lot of this lately. Oh, you know, they just want to fit in. They just want to fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar people. We're not supposed to fit in. We need to look differently, act differently, walk and talk differently, dress differently than the world. Amen. No, we're supposed to. Now, and now listen, when Pastor Matt and I were in Disneyland, and I was, and him and I talked about this, man, I was really just like, I was so grieved at what the parents were letting their little girls wear. And I've heard from moms that would say things like, well, they just want to fit in. I'm like, we're not supposed to fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be differently. We're supposed to look differently. We should teach our children to act differently and dress differently and walk differently. You can still be cute and dress appropriately. You know, sometimes you feel you got to tiptoe around that stuff, but come on, ladies, you know, most of it falls on us. Right? We should be different. We're not supposed to look like the world. Okay? The next thing, how are we going to turn the world upside down? We need to pray for the city where God has placed us. Right? And he says it right there. Seek the peace of the city where I've called you, where I have caused you to be carried away. Caused you, called you to. Pray for our neighborhoods. Pray for your city. Pray for your state. Pray for your country. See, either we believe that God is in control or he is not. Either he has placed us where we're at or he has not. Right? We need to pray for those areas. Pray for your neighborhood. You know, one of the things a few years ago, you know, I was like, God, I just want to move out of my neighborhood because there's a lot of crime and stuff like that. And God said, you need to be praying for that. So I started, you know, when I started several years ago when I was running, and I would just pray in the spirit that I'm running, praying over my neighborhood. If I'm going to be in peace, I want to live in peace, I want my neighborhood to be in peace. Right? Pray for those areas. Pray for our city. If we're going to live here, right? We have to live here. Let's seek its peace. Let's seek the peace of it, right? We can't run and hide, folks. We got to turn it upside down. Okay? Number four, determined to not sin. Right? And this is found in Daniel. And I love the book of Daniel. And I said, you know, Daniel was one of the Jewish exiles, right? And so he received, no doubtedly, that he received this letter from Jeremiah. He was over there at this time. He was a young man at the time that he was deported to Babylon. Like it says in Daniel 1:8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. When Daniel first got there, because he was such an outstanding young man, Nebuchadnezzar had taken these young men and wanted to train these men to be in his court, right? And so Daniel was one of these young men, and Daniel immediately purposed in his heart, said, I'm going to go and do this, right? But I'm not going to defile myself. In the midst of Babylon, in the midst of these things, he purposed in his heart to not sin against God. From the beginning, right? That we need a purpose in our heart from the beginning that we're not going to do that. Purpose in our heart. Not get in there and start messing around and dabbling and like, oh, well, you know. Purpose in our heart from the beginning. He made up his mind from the start that he would not compromise his convictions, even if it meant death. Even if it meant death. And I put a little side note here. It says, Daniel no longer had his parents around to guide him in his decisions. His love for God and God's ways had been so instilled in him that his desire was to serve the Lord with his whole heart. Parents, isn't that great? He was a young man that he decided this. He didn't have his parents to guide him any longer. So somebody had instilled some great stuff into him that when he got there, right? I love that. Next one. How do we change the world, Sidon? We cannot listen to the false prophets. We cannot listen to the false prophets, right? And that's what Jeremiah had written down. He says, do not listen to those that are prophesying falsely in my name. 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to this, says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We are in those latter days. So the Spirit is speaking to us now that people are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, being led astray, right? Some shall depart from the faith. The Holy Spirit has revealed here that in times there will be a great falling away, both from a personal faith in Christ and from scriptural truth. You can see it. I don't even need to preach that, man. You can see it, right? The Spirit said it, so you know it's coming to pass. I mean, it's happening right now. So we have got to stay prayed up and in the Word of God. We have to. There's seducing spirits out there, right? The Holy Spirit has said to us that there's seducing spirits out there causing people to fall away from the faith, causing people to fall away from scriptural truth. And folks, we can see it. We can see it. It's in the world. So we have got to stay in the Word of God and stay prayed up. We have to. We cannot listen to the false prophets. We can't listen to the false teachers. We've got to listen to the Word of God. Right? Either the Word of God is true or it is not true. It cannot be true and not true at the same time, right? It's either all true or not true. It's true. Right? Well, you have to settle that for yourself. It's settled in my spirit. The Word of God is true. It's true. It's for today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So, Jesus is God or He is not God. Jesus is not God and not God and not, or Jesus is God and not God at the same time. He's either God or He's not God. Right? So these are some scriptural truths that need to become revelation in our life that we do not get swept away with these other people. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be in fellowship with other believers. Right? The book of Hebrews tells us that we are to be in fellowship with other believers. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, and even more so as you see the day approaching. Right? That day is the end of days. So he says, even more so as you see the times coming to pass, be in the house of God. It's important. Now, I'm not just saying that because we're pastors here. It's important. It's important for me to be here. It's important for you to be here. Next, we cannot remain in Jerusalem. We can't remain in Jerusalem. God told the exiles, if you stay in Jerusalem, you're going to die. Right? We cannot run and hide thinking it's going to be safe. We can't run and hide thinking it's going to be safe. Folks, we are supposed to be on the front lines. We're supposed to be on the front lines, right? If we're going to turn the world upside down, we can't run and hide. We can't run and hide. I love Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the uncompromisingly righteous are as bold as a lion. Boldness, folks. Oh my gosh, we have the creator of the universe living inside of us. What do we have to fear? Who can separate us, right? What can man do unto me? Come on. These are scriptures I'm quoting out here in case y'all didn't know. Thank you, brother. Mark chapter 6, 1 through 13, it says, Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority and power over unclean spirits, and he charged them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no wallet for a collection bag, no money in their belts, but to go with sandals on their feet and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you go into a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any community will not receive and accept you, then you and they refuse to listen to you, when you depart, shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that town. So they went out and preached that men should repent. Amen. Thank you, brother. So Jesus here is telling them, go out and preach. Go to the houses, go to the towns, go out and preach this word, teaching men about me, teaching them to repent, right? Jesus just said that, and he says, if they won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Now, this was really strong this season that the Lord told me, is that we need to literally be lasers. We need to have laser beam pinpoint accuracy during this season, because God is moving on the hearts of men, okay? And he says, if they're not going to receive you, you got to be willing to shake the dust off your feet and move on. Folks, we are in that season in the church because we have been taught by the world that we're judgmental and unloving if we're not constantly, you know, in someone's life all the time doing everything for them. During this season, Jesus said, you got to shake the dust off your feet and move on if they're not going to accept it. We cannot help everyone and we cannot reach everyone. We have to be willing to move on when someone does not want the gospel or doesn't want to change. Okay? If someone is unwilling to do it for themselves, I'm not wasting any more of my time on them. If someone is unwilling, now listen to me. If someone cannot do it for themselves, that's completely different. So we were with some pastors, and the pastor told us the story, and he said he was talking to another pastor friend, and someone had come up for prayer and said, Pastor, will you pray and fast for me over this thing? I want to pray and fast for 5 days and pray and fast for me over this thing. The pastor was like, absolutely, I will do that with you. So about 2 days later, he's driving through town, sees a guy eating at McDonald's, pulls into McDonald's and goes up to him and said, Brother, we're praying and fasting for this. And he said, no, Pastor. I wanted you to pray and fast for me. Listen, there's a difference between someone unwilling to do it for themselves. Right? That no, I'm not going to do it for myself. I want you to do it for me. Right? And because people have taken advantage of our good graces and the grace of God, right? We get in these tailspins of trying to help people that don't want it and don't want to change. They don't want it and they don't want to change. And we have to say, you know what? I cannot help you any longer. I got to move on to somebody that wants it. I'm going to give all my wisdom to somebody that wants it. I'm going to give, listen to me. Love them. Be kind to them. Pray for them. But at some point, you're going to have to shake the dust off your feet and move on. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to send yourself into a tailspin. And you're going to be so worrying and fretting over somebody that is unwilling. Right? And during this season, God says, they don't want it, move on, they want it. And literally, as God told me this, I saw him like just doing this. It was like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, 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 yes. If they don't want it, move on to someone that does. That is a word. Let it go, okay? Love, serve, be kind. But don't waste your energy on someone that is unwilling to change or doesn't want it. Okay? The next one. I'm almost done. Be who God has called you to be. Not what others expect you to be. Okay, this is really big. Let me free you in this, okay? Because somebody freed me. You are you, I am me. You be you, let me be me. Okay? You don't have to be me. You don't have to be Pastor Matt. You don't have to be Jay or Shelley or Todd or Aubrey or Amber or Tammy. You be you. You be you and you do what you do. And I'll do what I do. I know Shelley came to me one time and she said, so many people say, how come you don't preach? How come you don't preach? And she said, I'm not called to that. That's not what she's called to. She has no desire for that. She's not called to that. You be you. Let me be me. Okay, it's freeing, right? It's freeing. Be who God has called you to be. Do what God has called you to do, because nobody else can do what God has called you to do the way that you can do it. Let everyone do their part, okay? The last one is, folks, we must endure to the end, right? Jesus said, Jeremiah told the captives, he said, you're going to be here for 70 years. Just get used to it. You're going to be here for 70 years. Folks, you're going to be here until God says otherwise. Right? We must endure till the end. If you give up halfway, you don't get the prize. We must endure to the end. Right? You can see this in Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Go home and read it yourself, because I don't want to read all that. It's about end time stuff, and he says, whoever endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Folks, we need to walk it out to the end, right? We need to go out and turn the world upside down, right? Boldness, folks. This season, God has given us a spirit of boldness. We are bold as a lion. Bold as a lion, okay? Man, go out there and be bold as a lion. Do not be afraid of what man can do unto you. God is greater. He is greater. Okay? Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for today, God. Lord, I just thank you for this new building, God, that you've given us. I thank you for this new ministry opportunity, for this new neighborhood, Father God. I thank you for this new season, Lord. Father God, I come against the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this fear will not come near us, God, that we walk in power in the spirit, Father God. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We walk in your might. We walk in your strength. It does not matter what man can do unto us, Father God, that we will go forth in your might and your power, Father, with that spirit of boldness in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we will go forth and turn the world upside down, Father God. We thank you for this message tonight, Father God. I pray that it takes root. Lord, let this take root in our heart, in our minds, Father God, and that we bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah, this Friday night, men's event, 6 o'clock potluck. Men luck at 6.